across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
What he said. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Nice to have you here. 6:06 on this Thursday morning, May 2nd, 2024. It's the second day of what Justin Timberlake once again reminds us is...
gonna be May.
Look at that. Nailed it this time. It's nice to have you here. Beautiful day up north again, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, social media, or podcast. I got a question for you. Is this not just one of the best times of the year when the sun is getting up early enough for all of us early birds to see that, you know, nice little pink ribbon out there in the far eastern horizon across the lake for me, and realizing we are really getting into spring here? There's more songbirds in the backyard than there were before. I've got trees that are blooming. I don't get spring allergies, so this is all okay by me. I realize I'm describing a horror situation to some of you, and I feel bad. But again, as the alternative to a never-ending winter, I'm going to take this every time. What are you up to today? What's on your mind? What are you thinking about from what you see in the news? You can share your ideas anytime by phone or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can use the phone, although we'd love it if you used the app as well, because then you can get used to listening to some of the other stations, some of the other shows all across the network. All right, in our first half hour here, we're going to talk to Joe Zepecki. We're going to play some of the clips from former President Donald Trump's visit to Waukesha yesterday. And while a lot of it was some of the same old dark and stormy stuff that he has said in the past, we're going to play some of it simply because, well, he was in Wisconsin. And we can't just continue to casually dismiss these things like, oh, he's just saying these things. I think we should actually hear some of them and get an appreciation for, get a measure of the man and whether he's really up to the job and whether he's the thing that we need and the values that we need at this point in our nation. Then in our second hour, our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good, we will be talking to another woman who's a community leader in Northeast Wisconsin this time around, one who is running for a legislative seat as well. So join Kate Duffy, Nicole Slavin, and our special guest coming up later this hour. And of course, Luke Mathers will join us because it's Thursdays. We'll talk a bit about what else is on Civic Media. And of course, since he's a huge fan of Top Chef, we watched last night's episode, which was all about the sausage races at American Family Field, and then taking a part by competing with the five different kinds of sausages, hot dogs, brats, you know, all that you can find at American Family Field, which again makes for some very interesting dishes, the kind that you would not normally find at a stadium. And Ryan Braun was one of the celebrity judges at that as well. So a very entertaining show last night. At just about 10 past 6, here's what temperatures look like across Wisconsin. It's 52 here on Lake Wissota. Around the rest of Wisconsin, left to right, top to bottom, Hayward's at 45, Park Falls 45, Wausau 50, Green Bay 50, La Crosse 55, Wisconsin Rapids is at 53, Oshkosh 54, it's 56 in Madison, and it's 52 in Waukesha, where we welcome in Greg Bach on this Thursday morning. Mr. Bach, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Now, when you sing it like that, I hear you say, I'm doing great, but it sounds like you're masking, like, I don't know, I'm not awake.
I'm barely holding it together.
There it is.
I'm falling apart inside my head. I'm doing fine.
You are. You're doing great. What's the t-shirt today? I can't quite make
this
it out.
This is a t-shirt from the Swag Shop. The Swag Shop is three locations in Atlanta. It's a barber shop. Oh. One inside, I went to an Atlanta Hawks game this year. We went to Atlanta in January. And
yes,
inside the Hawks arena is a barber shop, and it is the Swag Shop. And that swag shop is owned by thrice Grammy Award winning Killer Mike from Run the Jewels.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a big fan of his. I'm a big fan of Run the Jewels. We follow each other on Twitter. Brag. Lol. And I've just always been really, and I used to be a barber, so it was a big thing mm-hmm. for me. So when we were down in Atlanta, I went down there and visited two locations, bought some cool gear, and this is one of their t-shirts. It's a take on the Run the Jewels logo, but instead of doing the pistol and the fist, it is holding they're holding a clippers and a razor.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. That's very cool. Do you have any idea? Well, did you get a haircut down there? I'm wondering, how much does it cost to get a haircut at a well-known barbershop in Atlanta? Or Milwaukee, for that matter. Okay. What are haircuts going for?
Oh, that's a pack right level. Good questions.
Thank you.
In Atlanta, I believe that in the swag shop, I think they were like $35 a piece, $40
a piece. Oh, well, that's not terrible.
And that's getting you, like, that's a full service. You're getting the haircut, hot towel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even a lineup. I'm not sure. I don't know if they include that. But here in at least in the southeastern Wisconsin area, you can go to your Best Great Clips mm-hmm. and get one for, I think, $15.
Okay.
When I used to work at the barbershop, when I left, we were charging $28, and that was, I still think, far, far cheaper than the talent that was coming out of that room. But I think they're mm-hmm. at like 30 something. I think your good haircut's going to run you between $30 and $50 for a man's haircut.
Okay. Or a
traditional men's haircut.
I've been going to the same barber in Eau Claire for 29 years now.
Yeah.
It's been funny to watch us both grow from kind of young people and then him meet somebody that he would marry and start a family with. And now the nest is emptying out. So we get to bond this way. But his prices have always been what I've considered very reasonable. But he almost feels guilty raising them. He's up to $18 now. And he's always, notices that I tend to tip a little bit bigger, but I always remind him that for those 3 years that we lived in another country, where the prices are significantly higher, haircuts run you anywhere from $50 to $80.
I mean, you can definitely find some places in Milwaukee that will charge you $50, if not more.
Wow.
I'm
not saying those stylists aren't worth it. It's just when you grow up and you can't help but compare, well, gosh, when I was young, haircuts were $5. Well, yeah, but Richard Nixon's not president anymore.
So. I mean, that's a very good point. And, I think too, when you look at like, and this is not me knocking like small towns or the rural areas, but usually in those rural areas, small town areas, the haircuts, at least for men, usually are in like the $15 to $20 range, just because that's what, like, I couldn't, if I opened up a barbershop across the street from your barbershop and I was charging $30, $35, I probably wouldn't stay in business.
No.
Because a lot of men up there, like, I'm not paying that kind of money.
Well, because what can you really do extra with a guy's haircut?
Pat.
What? You're saying you could add value to this thing that I've had since ninth grade? Game show host haircut?
Without getting into a deeper psychological discussion about it, there's something that, it's true. It's very true. I've had this talk with a lot of people.
Okay.
I can't believe I said that. I sound like Trump. I talk to a lot of people.
Very best people.
Yeah. But men tend to, not all of them, but men tend to, when they walk into the barbershop or a salon, it's not their utmost importance to look good as far as the haircut. Like they're not dirty or anything, but 9 times out of 10, you hand the mirror to the guy and they're like, it's good,
mm-hmm.
And my job when I was a barber, I felt was to not even like when you saw the mirror in the shop, was when you got in your car and you inevitably adjusted the rear view mirror and looked at yourself, was to smile a little and feel good. And that to me is what our job is too, because we should be allowed to feel good and, let that haircut give us an extra pep in the step.
That's true. That's very true. Man, I got to show up in Waukesha just to hit you up for a haircut and see if I feel good by the end of it. And how much are you going to charge me for it though?
I'll give you the friends and family discount. That's
$75. Yeah. Okay. Sounds like we could work out a deal on that. I want to say congrats to the folks across Civic Media who made last night's third Congressional District Candidate Forum a nice success. I listened to that last night from La Crosse. A lot of great Q&A from the candidates, Rebecca Cook, Katrina Shanklin, Eric Wilson. And so what I'll say is, again, you know, when you have a primary like this, and you will for other races around the state, of course, as well. But a forum like this is, I think, the best way to gauge who it is you want to vote for. Because I've been asked by a lot of people, who of these three candidates should they support to run against Derek Van Orden in the fall? And I think you really have to listen back to how they answer some of these questions, because their positions are by and large the same. There wasn't a lot of daylight between the positions, but how do they present those responses? It tells you, are they going to be an effective speaker in Congress? Are they going to be an effective fighter on your behalf? So I thought it was really great that you know, that the Civic Media folks put that on several stations, and I know they're going to do it again once in June, once in July. And I'm sure, Greg, down by you, you know, there will be ample time for forums as well. And I'm just glad we have a radio network here that, you know, allows for that to happen, for people to truly just weigh the candidates, especially on radio instead of TV. Just, yes, you know, just hearing what they're actually saying.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's one of our jobs. We, you know, Jane and I talk about this a lot, is informing the public, giving them all the information. And with everything going on, and elections can be confusing, mm-hmm. It's good that, you know, three people just sat down last night and had a good discussion. They all respect each other. They all want to win, but they all want the same goal, no matter who wins.
Exactly. A little bit of sports here as we come up on 6:18. Willie Adames homered twice yesterday afternoon. Colin Ray pitched six scoreless innings to lead the Brewers over Tampa Bay 7-1 in the finale of a contentious three-game series. Prior to the game, Brewers reliever Abner Uribe was suspended for six games, Freddie Peralta for five for their roles in a brawl on Tuesday night. Rays outfielder Jose Siri was suspended for three, and Milwaukee manager Pat Murphy for two. Uribe was also sent down to AAA Nashville. They are off today. They start a three-game series tomorrow at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. Day games each time, so you can listen starting at 12:45 tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN Racine Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Coming up, we're going to listen back to some of what former President Donald Trump had to say during his visit to Waukesha. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlau.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together.
Leslie Gore has a role in today's history lesson coming up in about 30 minutes here. Joe Zepecki in about 15 minutes. The Milwaukee Bucks try to stave off elimination once again in Game 6 of the first round of the NBA playoffs in Indiana to take on the Pacers, who lead the series 3-2. You can catch tonight's game starting at 5 o'clock on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Erin Amory, 98Q Country in Park Falls, News from the Center and Richland Center, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, and Oshkosh Air Support, as well as we look to see if the Bucks can again, well, first off, see if either Giannis and or Dame Lillard can come back, if they can come back from their injuries and play in an elimination game. And if not, can Chris Middleton and everybody else fill the gap as they did so admirably in Game 5? We'll see. We'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow morning at about this time. Former President Trump was in Waukesha yesterday. He was on a break. The court where his trial is going on for election interference through falsifying business records fraudulently, that courtroom takes Wednesdays off. He has had the opportunity to campaign since that time, but he's done a lot of golfing. But this week he did decide to come campaign again, and he came to Waukesha. And we don't play a lot of what Donald Trump has had to say because, again, we're almost kind of numb to it. And so I wanted to make an exception here because, again, it was right here in Wisconsin, where, by the way, again, he did tell the same lie. He did again say that he won Wisconsin in 2020, when he did not. But he keeps doing that to try to convince some of his more strident followers that they have been wrong, to think of themselves as victims, and to quite literally fight for their country, whether it was on January 6th, 2021, or at some point in the future. He has not ruled out, once again, sparking political violence through his rhetoric. And you get a feel from it in this first cut I'm going to play for you, where he again essentially gives a tacit green light to anybody who might, he'll be able to say, well, I did not tell anybody to be violent. And yet here is his forecast for what happens if Joe Biden wins in November.
I'll tell you what, if we don't win this election, I don't think our country is going to survive. I will say it. And I've never said that publicly, I don't think. But I felt it for a long time. I actually think our country is not going to survive.
I love the selective, poor Greg's got his head in his hands already here. I don't think I've ever said this before. You've said this 5,000 times, but you said it again yesterday, and it was worth passing along to folks.
Don't worry, Pat. He said, well, I don't think I did.
I don't think I did. I just want to play the audio so you make clear, cozies up to dictators around the world. Here's a short little bite about, whether he has been tough enough on Russia, when the answer, of course, is he certainly has not been.
And then they say, Trump is easy on Russia. No, I was very tough in Russia. I got along with Putin very well. I got along with President Xi of China very well. Got along with Kim Jong-un.
And there are reasons for that. Again, he wants that for himself and has made that clear. He said in the Time magazine interview, which has been the big topic of the week, that he would fire U.S. attorneys if they refused his order to prosecute people, that the president could just order U.S. attorneys to prosecute people, and if they don't, he will fire them. I mean, it goes a step beyond Nixon and the Saturday Night Massacre. And I can't imagine somebody, Greg, in the position of, Jim Santel, who's now with Civic Media, who joins us on Friday mornings, former U.S. attorney. I can't imagine being one of those U.S. attorneys and hearing that now before the election, wondering where this country is going to go if that were to happen.
I don't want to be like hyperbole here, but it's getting a little terrifying. Mm-hmm. And you can say like, oh, he doesn't know. He's saying words. He's just trying to, it's like, yeah, but those words carry weight.
They do. And they carry influence in that sometimes, like any other mob boss, you don't have to say do X, Y, and Z. You can say, wow, it would be a shame if X, Y, and Z did, happened. And somebody else is going to carry that out. It's going to say, let's.
Oh, I never said that.
I never said that.
No.
Here's something he did say of the many demonstrably false things that he said, trying to somehow make it seem as if President Joe Biden didn't have the most successful and consequential first 2 years of any president with everything that passed in the legislative agenda. I mean, listen to this very short clip about the infrastructure bill.
Well, $1.2 trillion for their fake infrastructure. He had a package of infrastructure. You take a look at it. It's fake.
Infrastructure.
Those bridges are made of cardboard. The other folks, stuff too.
Do you see the orange traffic barrels out there?
Yeah.
Do you see the crews that are working? To just say something like that, ignore what you're seeing out there. Ignore the contracts that have been rewarded. It's all fake.
Yeah.
It's much like the criminal trials, where he just says that they're fake, and they talked to people outside the rally in Waukesha yesterday, and they said, oh yeah, these charges are all ginned up. There's nothing to them. When all you have to do is read the charging documents and look at all of the evidence to see that it is. But people are believing him no matter what he says. And I really mean no matter what he says, because here again is the disgusting thing that he says about abortion.
And will allow execution of a baby even after birth. I mean, they actually have a standard. You remember the former governor of Virginia? He said, we put the baby down and we decide. The baby is born, we put the baby down, and we decide whether or not, essentially, to kill the baby. So what's happened is now the states decide.
It is, again, just wildly offensive. There's not even a slice of an ounce of truth to what he's doing, is taking somebody else's horrific medical conditions and projecting it through a lens that he wants to create of what happens during some tragic, troubling pregnancies. But to me, the other important note here is he keeps coming back to the states deciding. And yeah. People have been saying, you see, Trump is very much a states' rights person. He's all about the states' rights. No, he's not. He's lazy.
Yeah.
He's like, if I say the states decide all this, you can't penalize me for overturning Roe v. Wade. And yet, what does he do? He takes credit for repealing Roe v. Wade, for putting three justices on the court who lied. To the Senate, saying Roe v. Wade is settled law.
Yeah.
And now they're there, and he takes credit for that, but then he tries to avoid anything, saying, well, it's up to the states now, and you had Florida's 6-week ban that came into effect yesterday. So there's basically just a total ban all throughout the South at this point. And he does not want to be part of it, so he says, well, it's up to the states. It's not up to me. I still think people will hold him accountable to it, but those were just kind of a sample of the things that he said, and I may play one more later just to again show just what a horrible person he is and how much of his remarks are devoted to just straight up insulting people rather than saying what you would do. And what would you do for real? You can't just say the good times are going to be back. You never had a healthcare plan. You never had an infrastructure plan. So if you don't have a plan this time either, why are we spending time with you? And we're only doing it today because he had come to Wisconsin yesterday. All right, we'll ask Joseph Pecky about some of this, see if I can't feel a little bit better after getting perspective from him. Coming up next, live from Lake Wissota, across the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlum. Welcome back. Time for our visit with Joe Zepecki. Joe, nice to have you along again. We could spend so much time on the Bucks. I could spend so much time on the Brewers and umpires. I'll try to save a little time at the end. But we did have a former president coming through, so I guess we got to start there first. How are you otherwise?
Oh, I'm great. Hey, listen, it was nice to see Donald Trump actually deciding to campaign. One of my favorite tropes since the Manhattan trial started has been complaints from the right that poor Donald Trump can't go campaign, and people were actually looking at the record and then pointing out in response to that, in the last 6 weeks he has played three times as much golf as he has gone and campaigned. So Donnie's got some free time. He just doesn't always choose to use it to come and campaign. I think it's great that he got out there. I think it's good that the American people and the people of Wisconsin got to see just how far gone this shadow of a former president has gone.
And he did have all of the greatest hits throughout the remarks at the Waukesha County Expo Center. And now you had mentioned the movie Civil War a couple of weeks ago. I went and I saw it a couple of days after that based on your recommendation. We've seen the Time Magazine interview with Trump. Again, it's a very dark place. And then, of course, among his many quotes from Waukesha, it includes, this old chestnut. If we don't win this election, I don't think our country's going to survive. And I've never said that publicly, I don't think. Well, that's wrong. But I felt it a long time. I actually think our country's not going to survive. That is so just inviting people to violence that I'm just stunned that more people aren't put off by that.
Well, and it also comes on the heels of him refusing to say there will be no violence following the 2024 election. Mm-hmm. He said, well, if we win, there won't be. But if we lose, we'll have to see. And I guess on the one hand, it is dark and stormy and scary. And we should listen to Donald Trump. He is telling us what he's going to do. We should talk maybe at length about the Time Magazine interview. But to this question specifically, America can't survive. That belies just how little faith he has in America and how little he understands about what it is that makes this country truly great. Not perfect, but great and the envy of the world. If anyone believes that the ability of this nation to persevere depends on who is inhabiting 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, come on. We are not our politicians. We never have been. We are a multicultural democracy with the strongest economy in the world. Politicians didn't make that. They didn't build that. The men and women of this country did. And I just have to kind of chuckle when I hear it, because Republicans used to agree with me that this country wasn't defined by its politicians and that it was the people, we the people, that made this country great. And I think privately, almost all of those Republicans still agree with me, but they have pledged their fealty to a former president who doesn't have his fastball anymore, can't stay awake in court, is sort of two minds about everything, can't make up his mind. And he's just, it's almost sad in that respect, right? Like, there was a time when this was a vibrant guy with like a point of view. And now it's just so clear that he's just in it to be in it and in it for himself that I wonder how folks who are paying attention can't see the difference in the Donald Trump of 2015 and the Donald Trump from today. I want them to see the difference. And I think the more he campaigns, the more they will.
Oh my gosh. You know what you've described? He is the personification of the Facebook algorithm, which in the beginning you could put almost anything up and people would like it and engage with it. But you notice that they're really engaging on the hateful stuff, on the dark stuff. And he has just programmed himself to go darker and darker and more threatening and more insulting. There was so much insulting in there. You know, again, he's always done it, but it's really the only substance in there is now, should I call him Sleepy Joe or should I call him Crooked Joe? I mean, there's just...
or should I call Chris Christie fat? Or I mean, like, yeah. And here's a perfect example. Like, now it is 100% midnight in America. It is always darkest before it's totally pitch black. Donald Trump used to have some charm. I never, like, it wasn't my particular kind, but like, you could see the charisma. You could see, you know, that he was trying to be funny, that there was something there. And that's gone. All you have is a bitter, angry old man who is telling the American people what he's going to do and lying about what Democrats are doing. So, for example, another thing that the president said yesterday in Waukesha, he's repeating this grotesque lie that blue state mothers are executing their babies after they're born, as if that has anything to do with abortion or access to reproductive health care in this country. It is just not based in fact. And if it were based in fact, it is a crime. The crime would be murder. And right. He doesn't care. You know, it's something he makes up because it makes his supporters angry. And you know, our response to that can be one of a couple of things. We can meet that anger with anger and be really pissed that he's saying that. And it's okay to feel that way. But you can also just sort of go like, this is not a serious person. You like... No thinking person who is alive on this earth and has lived, you know, and raised a family or been a part of a family thinks that that's actually a thing that's happening. And, you know, that shows the power of mass communications and propaganda and, frankly, a political party that is acting more cult-like than anybody should ever act. You know, we should not be afraid to criticize politicians who we support and vote for. And that has been on full display this week. In a lot of ways, I'm sorry to ramble on here, but it's like nobody should agree with Donald Trump on everything and doesn't. And by the way, nobody should agree with Joe Biden on everything. No. And I don't think anybody does.
Well, we're learning over the past couple of weeks that's definitely the case.
And if you think back, you've voted in more elections than I have. I can't think of a vote I've cast for somebody who I agreed with on every single issue. That's not
including
how this
myself,
works, folks.
Yeah. I do not agree with myself much of the time, it seems. But when what really bothered me, I guess, and it shouldn't, again, we've been doing this for years now, but when he got on the race baiting bandwagon and talking about, you know, having a jihad here, and it was, we're going to put the travel ban back in place and all
a much
the
tougher Muslim ban, he called
yes,
it.
Yes. And Yeah, he can say that, but it's the way that the crowd is cheering that, you know, reflects so poorly on Waukesha County, which already has to deal with the stereotypes that are out there, despite all the many, you know, good people that live there. But to hear the, you know, you could hear the torches and pitchforks. And I thought, this is just so indicative of where one party has gone away from solutions. And if we just scare everybody about black people in our cities, brown people at our borders, you know, and others who don't look like us, that's going to be enough to win elections. And that is as disheartening, I have to say.
Well, the heartening part of it is it hasn't resulted in winning elections. I mean, that's the, we can focus a lot on the bad. And here's a reminder that since 2016, Donald Trump hasn't had a good election night. Right. He has not added to his coalition. He lost in the midterms. He lost for re-election. His party lost in 2022 when he was still dominating the party. Just this week, the Republican Party lost another special election, New York 26th, and the Democratic candidate overperformed Joe Biden's 2020 performance by double digits. And so I know that people are concerned about polling, and we should not take anything for granted. But what we saw on display in Waukesha yesterday was a perfect example of how Donald Trump has not added to his coalition in the 4 years since he lost the race for the White House. And he lost that race for the White House before two of the most important things associated with his presidency happened. The first of which was January 6th, the culmination of his plot to forego the peaceful transition of power and try to, you know, illegally stay in power. That happened after he lost an election. The second thing was the upshot of the three Supreme Court justices he appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court, including one of those seats that I think with a straight face, any American could say was stolen, right? Because McConnell made one rule about that Barack Obama, and then there was another rule for Donald Trump. And what did those Supreme Court justices do? They gave Donald Trump and the right what they wanted, which was they overturned Roe. That happened after Donald Trump left the White House. So the two of the most signature things associated with the Trump presidency happened after he lost the election in 2020. So he is losing parts of his coalition, pissing people off, losing voters. And what is he doing to try to build a broader coalition or win people back? He's not moderating. He's not walking away from some of his most extreme positions. He is double, tripling, and quintupling down. And that is why this election feels like there's so much at stake, because there is. But I would encourage folks to do not despair and think that because the Marquette Law School poll suggests it's a jump ball election, that we're going to lose or that we're going to be stuck with 4 more years of Donald Trump. To the contrary, we're going to kick his ass one more time. And then hopefully he'll be gone for good. But it doesn't happen on its own. It takes talking at a reasonable volume and pitch to people and reminding them that, number one, they don't have to agree with Joe Biden on everything. Number two, that Donald Trump is uniquely unqualified to be commander in chief again. And I think people will get there. I think the biggest divide in our politics today is not between left and right. It's between those who pay a lot of attention all the time and the normies who are just living their lives. And the more that the normal folks among us tune in and see how far Donald Trump has fallen and think through the choice in this election, the better it's going to be for Joe Biden and Democrats, and the better we'll all be able to sleep at night.
My goodness, you've given me the show title for this hour. It's going to be Pat Goes to Therapy. I feel like I should send you a check for this therapy session.
Great news, I don't charge by the hour.
It's done me a world of good. So now that I've got that good feeling, let's go ahead and torpedo it for the last couple of minutes here. Tonight in Indianapolis, the Bucks have another elimination game. And if they win tonight, then they've got another elimination game. No idea what's up with Lillard or Antetokounmpo. So again, I don't ask you to make predictions. I just ask how you're doing as we head into, this very pivotal game.
I am delighted by the performance by the shorthanded Milwaukee Bucks in game 5. Mm-hmm. I did not see that coming. frankly, you know, game four, when with Portis getting ejected, that game could turn out very differently if he plays the rest of the way. I'm going to say this. I'm trying to be a realist about all things. You know, it is very hard to beat a team three times in a row, and that's what the Bucks are up against right now. We got one, but we still need two more, and that's going to be tough, especially if we don't have Giannis. Lillard, again, I've been kind of down on Lillard and what he's brought to the team all year. And I think you saw some of that last night where Pat Beverly was, or two nights ago, was doing an incredible job running the team, playing better defense, and other people had an opportunity to step up and contribute. But so maybe we'll get one more, but boy, I am not counting my chickens that there's much of a chance of us making it to the second round.
Well, and it leads to this one basic question that my wife brought up, you know, not a basketball fan, but said, you know, is this, do we need to be talking about whether we need an 81 game regular season when you get all these injuries in the playoffs?
Well, it has long been a question. One of the unique things about Giannis is he has not really been a load management guy. There are stars in the NBA who practice load management and don't play both nights of back-to-backs. And Giannis has always been such a gamer that he wants to play in 82 games. And when he's out, you know he's actually hurt. I don't think we're going to see a shorter season.
No,
I think
of course not.
I don't want Giannis to change. When he's out there, I want him to go 100% all the time, and that's the way he plays. And, you know, and injuries are part of the game.
And I want Christian Yelich to never have back pain again either. These injuries are killing us, man. Joe's back.
I want Garrett Mitchell back. When does that happen?
I know. Sooner the better.
Love that kid.
Oh, thank you, Joe, so much. Have a good weekend.
You too, man.
We got today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. You're up. Everybody of a certain age knows this song from Just This.
It might be the most fist-pumping rock song. Like, I'm tapping my foot right now.
The Foreigner 4 album came out when I was in, like, ninth grade. Perfectly timed. First, probably one of the first albums I played to 11 and made my mom very unhappy with me. Like, right here.
I mean,
and that's how adolescents all over the world began doing air guitars. Lou Gramm, the original frontman of Foreigner, is 74 years old today. He was born Louis Andrew Grammatico in Rochester, New York. So,
Grammatico.
Lou Gramm, happy 74th to you. This is a radio program, but Greg and I are both noticing the same thing. Do you have the Kerry Lake Vaseline lens on your camera there?
I don't know, folks, if you're watching the live stream. First of all, I'm always apologizing for whatever you're looking at here.
Stop it.
But like, yeah. Oh, it's bad. Okay, it's cleared up.
There we go.
I think it was like the light in the room and the light coming through. But it had a faded weird thing where almost my eyes were going like, oh, they're watering now. I don't know why this is happening.
I was waiting for your voice change to go, hello, I'm Greg Bach, and this is Love Light.
You're here at Wisconsin Fresh Air.
I thought maybe he was getting set for some romantical singing. Not that Lou Gramm isn't, but Engelbert Humperdinck sure is, and he is 88 years old today.
So I sing you to sleep after the loving with a song.
I mean, just
that's such a weird slide.
He is so smooth.
Only he could say, I send you to sleep after the love.
After the loving. His birth name was Arnold Dorsey. Borrowed his stage name from the German composer of the 1893 opera Hansel and Gretel. So, I mean, people get their stage names from all kinds of places, I guess.
It's Engelbert Humperdinck. Hey, what's up, Arnie?
We played Leslie Gore earlier from It's My Party fame and a favorite of Kristen Lyerly's. She was born this day 78 years ago. She passed away in 2015. Larry Gatlin of the Gatlin Brothers is 76 years old today. I don't think I'm going to have time to play that Gatlin Brothers hit All the Gold in California, but I promise you I'm going to make a TikTok using that song with Eric Hovde's Bank. So be on the lookout for that. Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC is 57. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is 52 today. And David Beckham is 49. It was on this day in 1997 that a really unique new kind of spoof of the James Bond movies made its appearance, and that would be Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
And I have to say, up until we played this song once before.
Yes.
And until that, I thought this song was an original composition for the movie.
Well, it makes total sense.
And you call me culture.
This, of course, is Soul Bossa Nova by Quincy Jones. And it was only about a week ago that I saw somebody put a social media post up with a link to the opening scene of the first Austin Powers movie.
Yeah.
Saying, this has held up remarkably well over time. And it is, from the standpoint of being a complete spoof of, you know, the late 60s culture in the UK and the US. It's a wonderful opening scene.
It's, yeah.
It just sets the stage.
It's got one of my favorite lines in the movie ever. He's in the casino and he's walking down the little staircase and the guy goes, hey, there you are. And the guy goes, do I know you? He goes, no, but there you are. Like, what is, come on. So funny.
On this day in 1920, the first game of the Negro National League Baseball was played in Indianapolis. On this day in 2011, U.S. forces located and killed Osama bin Laden in Abbottabad, Pakistan. The number one song this day in 1987 was by Cutting Crew.
This takes me back.
I think for the generation after me, this intro to them is what Jukebox Hero was.
Yeah,
where you just hear this.
Yeah, my sister's a little older than me. Like, yeah. But I heard this song on the radio. Oh, I love this song so much.
And finally, on this day in 1943, a song that had come out a couple of years earlier by the Andrew Sisters was banned for training purposes for American airmen. The song was deemed to be too lusty.
Ooh.
What was this lusty tune that was relatively new in the early 1940s? Let's play a little bit of it and you decide. I'm not getting it. Are you?
I mean, get in that barrel, have some fun, and after the loving, it's going to send you to sleep. Can you imagine,
Andrews Sisters
taking those individuals who are like, this is too lusty, and drop them into 2024? They would just explode into...
Oh, my goodness.
Into blushing dust.
Yes. You know, here... Come see a Cardi B show or, you know, some of the other shows that are out there. Who am I thinking of? Oh, goodness gracious.
Give him one album from The Weeknd.
Yes. Miley Cyrus. That's who I was thinking of, too. Yeah. All right. On the national calendar today, this is National Brothers and Sisters Day. So, yeah.
What's the difference between that and National Siblings Day?
No idea.
Okay.
Basically, they hand these things out, you know, like water. It's like, here, you want a day, you get a day. Today is International Scurvy Awareness Day.
Arr!
So suck on a lemon or a lime or an orange or
don't
something.
Be like me, matey.
Yeah. Let's see. This is National Life Insurance Day. So take out some life insurance on somebody you love. It won't make them suspicious at all. It's National Play Your Ukulele Day. It is National Truffle Day, and we're talking about the chocolatey ones, not the mushrooms. Yeah. Isn't it kind of weird that truffle describes two very different tastes?
Yes, and then there's like truffle oil and truffle this and truffle that. I'm like, all I know is that you're charging me $10 to $50 more for it.
Mm-hmm. It is Take a Baby to Lunch Day.
All right.
Just like, no. I get to take your daughter to work, take your son to work, take your baby to lunch.
Today. We're done. We're done with the days. No more days to give out.
I do. I got two more. It's World Tuna Day. So be aware of tuna today. Sorry, Charlie. And it's also finally, it's World Password Day, not Password the Game Show, but a day where you're supposed to think about your passwords and go, am I due to change some of these? And then you change them. And I think in a week or two is National I Forgot My New Password Day. So
consider. The password is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's so sad.
Actually, the password is password.
Yep. Please don't do that, folks. Don't do that. Get those freshened up. In our next hour, our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, talks to a candidate in Northeast Wisconsin running for a seat in the state assembly. Thanks for joining us live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. More after news. I'm Pat Wrightlaw.